You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's the Score North Twin Show.
Implosion. Self-implosion by the Minnesota Twins in Baltimore this afternoon. They fall to 6-11 on the season. That is a clean sweep for the Baltimore Birds against the Minnesota Twins, who have yet to win a series since the opening series against the Kansas City Royals. This is Score North Extra Innings. My name's Declan Goff. That's AJ Fredrickson. Hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, and suffer with us right here on the Score North Extra Innings Twin Show. You can expect content from the majority of Twins home games. You can expect some content from when they're on the road. So this is a new channel that we have launched, the Minnesota Twins falling the Baltimore Orioles today. So hit the like button and subscribe button. We appreciate that. Age, a brilliant start from Pablo Lopez wasted this afternoon. Yesterday on the Score North Twin Show, or last night, I should say, Chris Paddock and Louis Varland, who started the first two games of this series, didn't even give the offense a chance to try to win a ball game. Today, outside of an opening dong to Henderson. Pablo was great after that. He was in cruise control. He was getting swings and misses. Everything looked great. And the Twins offense could not figure out how to hit against a guy who has not been in the major league since 2017. And look, I get it. It's a hell of a story. It's pretty damn cool when you see a guy who's been able to battle and come back like Albert Suarez is able to do, going to Japan, going to Korea, playing overseas, which is awesome. But this was the guy you get right against if you're the Twins offense. This is the guy who hasn't been in the major leagues or hasn't made a major league appearance in 6-7 years. And here he is just shoving. People can't catch up to his fastball. And the Twins waste a brilliant start by Pablo Lopez. Bullpen obviously self-implodes a little bit again. And here the Twins sit, age 6-11 on the season.
You said it exactly right. I mean, Albert Suarez, he has not pitched in the major leagues in some time, and everybody loves the story. Everybody loves these feel-good stories, but the problem is nobody wants to be on the opposite end of the feel-good story, because it's the same thing for like every highlight. It's fantastic to see that Steph Curry dagger three, but uh-oh, the Timberwolves are on the other side, or Patrick Kane, dirty dangles in the shootout, uh-oh, it's the Wild and Josh Harding on the other side. I don't want to see Albert Suarez highlights. That is going to be the trivia question in 7 years. Like, who did Albert Suarez shut down in his first outing in 7 years in the MLB? Oh, ding, 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 the Minnesota Twins. this should be a guy that the Minnesota Twins, as much as I want, for sure, Albert Suarez, revive your career. That's a great null. The Twins should have made this guy consider retirement today. This is a guy that they should have pounced on and absolutely lit up the scoreboard. Instead, he goes 5 2/3, and I want to say he only allowed three hits, 4 strikeouts. This is a guy that, sure, there's probably not a lot of tape. You're professional ball players. You need to put the bat on the ball here. You need to punish the Orioles for starting this guy against you, especially given your situation, being hurt. You've had a rough start to the year. These past two outings against the Orioles, they jumped on you quick. This is the way to jump on them quick, is to beat up on a guy named Albert Suarez. It's frustrating, and I'm sure Twins fans around the state are frustrated too, just like you and I are, because to see them go out and have to use their bullpen, exploit the Orioles bullpen to finally get runs on the board, it's just frustrating. This is where some of these other guys need to step up and take advantage, lead the way with Carlos Correa out, with Royce Lewis out. Somebody's got to step into the spotlight here, gentlemen. You know, you can't have the Wizard of Oz with Dorothy's hurt, Tin Man's hurt, the Lion. You know,
not a good movie.
No, it's not. But I'm saying, like, somebody along the Yellow Brick Road needs to step up here, step into the spotlight, put on the wig and those shoes, and click your heels. Somebody hit the dang ball, and it's frustrating.
Only guy that's been able to really trying to hit the ball here is Austin Martin. Who's the guy who made his major league debut not too long ago. And he's taking great at-bats. He's not striking out. He works counts. He ends up tying this ball game up. And unfortunately, that was kind of it. I know Kyle Farmer was able to get a big knock to give the Twins a lead, but this is kind of unacceptable for an offense when you're facing a guy that hasn't been able to play major league baseball the last 6 or 7 years. Again, awesome story. I'm not trying to discredit him necessarily. But for this was your get right game. The Twins actually had this happen against the Dodgers to wrap up their series where, all right, they're not going to be throwing Tyler Glass now. They have a chance here to try to rack up some runs and get some hits and string some stuff together against one of their no-name arms. And they were able to do that. Today, just, again, an abysmal offensive performance. And now they head back home. They are off on Thursday. They have the Tigers coming. They have the White Sox. The White Sox are god-awful. My whole point to Ross yesterday, Age, was don't get dragged into baseball hell, which is like the White Sox, the Rockies, the Marlins, you know, the Oakland Athletics organization, maybe not the players, but like there's some teams that are obviously like firmly in the depths of hell of baseball just to start the year. And the Twins like have maybe just a hand up as they're mostly like 80% of their body is basically being dragged into hell. And you can get it right against the Whiteys and the Tigers maybe, and the Angels too, who are on the docket. But to not salvage a win, to not try to get out of Baltimore with one, and letting your bullpen basically self implode there is quite the kick in the pants to end this series against Baltimore.
Yeah, and this is also too. I was talking to Matt Stengel here around the office as we were watching the end of this game together, and I was kind of telling him like I don't know if my mind, my baseball mind, I have this for other sports too, is maybe officially adjusted to the Orioles being kind of a powerhouse team.
Yeah, they're good.
I'm used to them being bottom of the barrel, like that kind of AL East. They're there, but at the bottom. This is a team that I want to say they won 100 games last year, right? And they have these young producing guys coming up. They've developed their talent. I mean, they're led by Anthony Santander, Cedric Mullins, but they have Ryan Mountcastle. They have Jackson Holliday. They have Adley Rutschman, who I don't believe was it. No, he didn't. I mean, he didn't really get too much happening today on his end. He's 0 for 4 with a strikeout, but they have these young up and coming guys and they've developed their talent. So this is not a team that like I would expect the Twins to like sweep. I want them to be at least competitive though. Today was a little bit competitive. They had stranded 6 guys on base. They gave up 3 long balls and that was the killer at the end of the day. But, it's just to not really ever, it seems like be in this series. From kind of the opening, it's disheartening. It's a kick in the teeth, and you got to wonder kind of what that does for the clubhouse and how they regroup. Because like I already said, who's stepping up to be a leader? Doesn't really seem like they have that aura, that leadership, veteran presence right now. Somebody's going to have to collect this team on that flight home and say, guys, We're coming back. We've got an in-division matchup here, a big series against the Tigers. They've started off well. So here's the plan. We're going to have our guys pitch. We're going to back them up by hitting the ball. We're going to not give Javi Baez something in the zone to swing at because he's going to swing wherever it is. It could be in a diamond. He'll still swing. Who's going to step up? And right now it's frustrating that, like, to your point, Austin Martin, who it seemed like really couldn't get on the field for the first few games of the season, finally is now getting playing time. He might have to be a guy. So, how quickly can we get this team healthy? I know you provided a slight update with Duran yesterday. He's kind of getting closer to coming back, but it seems like only a matter of time, but you want to have them when they do add these pieces back, they're not working from the ground up. They're already somewhat in stride. You know, they're jogging at least so that when they do get the pieces, they can finally sprint and get back up this division standing.
And look, losing Carlos Correa stinks. We talked at the beginning of the series when you have a guy like that in your lineup in the clubhouse, obviously on the field playing elite shortstop, it makes your life a lot easier because you can just kind of lean on a superstar player who's won a World Series and he's a prolific postseason hitter, but then he exits. You know, it was already kind of a, you know, kick to your gut when you lost Royce Lewis in the third inning of the first game. That already stunk. But now you're going to have guys like, yeah, Austin Martin, who, again, had a great game, but he's going to be relied upon a ton here. Jose Miranda was called up out of necessity, and he's been batting fifth for the majority of his call-up. Ryan Jeffers has mostly been really solid over the last week. I know didn't show it today, but in general has had a really nice start to the season. I mean, Carlos Santana, who was their veteran offseason addition, was held out of the lineup for back-to-back days today. I mean, it was one thing he didn't make the start yesterday. He didn't make a start today. He didn't make an appearance today. This was a veteran dude, and he has an OPS plus a 13 through the first 55 games, or 58 plate appearances, I should say, on the season. So they're looking for anything and everything to try to spark this. This is unfortunately going to be thrusted on guys like Austin Martin, like a Trevor Larnach, who replaced Matt Wallner. You know, Edward Julian's been fighting things a little bit. Byron Buxton's been able to play in just about every game in center or at DH. It's going to be up to those guys. Like, Correa's on the shelf. Royce Lewis, who's a heartbeat and this positive energy guy who can be around in the background, is great, but he's not on the field for you, so you're going to have to figure out other ways to be successful. And right now, the Twins hitters, they can get right against those lowly teams, but this has been really disheartening. You use that word, AJ, and I think probably more enlightening, too, because when they've played the Dodgers and the Baltimore Orioles here to start their season, the young season that it is, I mean, those two teams, I think, are firmly, you know, two of the five best teams in baseball. I don't think anyone would fight anyone where you want to rank them, but they're for sure probably in the top five of the best teams in ball. And the Twins aren't even in their class. Like, I really thought the Twins were going to be a really good team in the American League. And yes, there were some injuries to start the year, but they are not even in the same stratosphere as some of those two teams. You're legit talking about right now in a below average baseball team that was trying their absolute best to throw haymakers with two of the better teams in baseball.
Yeah, it's like watching, I don't know if you had this kind of in elementary school, but you had like the reading groups, right? And you took your comprehensive level.
I was not in the high reading group. That was not me.
I don't think I was either. But you had the kids that, you know, hey, way to go, Johnny. Here's your copy of Huckleberry Finn. You know, go off. It's Tom Sawyer, all that stuff. And hey, AJ, Dex, come here. We're going to give you a Cat in the Hat. Do you think you can handle that sport? Can you handle that? That is the Twins right now. We're trying to figure out what verbs are. We're trying to figure out what nouns are. I don't know what the answer is. And I think that's the biggest thing. And you can look at the cutback on spending. And now that you don't have kind of the patchwork to board up the holes in the ship as the water flows in. But at the end of the day, you have guys that I think you've seen enough from in the past. Edward Julian, your leadoff guy today, he's hitting 175 on the year. He goes 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts. Come on. Let's put the ball in play if you're our leadoff guy. Jose Miranda, I mean, I think you and I are expecting this guy to look to have somewhat of a bounce back reemergence here into this lineup as a mainstay. This has been a rough start to the year. This series has been a rough go for him. Maybe getting back home to Target Field could be beneficial for him. Alex Kirilloff, who's been hot, he kind of had an off day today. He did have, and I say that because of how good he's been, but he had one of the lone hits for this club today. They've had these explosive innings at times that have won them games. And that seems like the only times that they have is, you know, they can kind of bumble around in the dark looking. They're doing the Velma looking for the glasses. And then all of a sudden in the seventh inning, oh, hey, 2020 vision. Let's find these jinkies. We a double in the gap. And then, you know, Byron Buxton hits a triple. And then Alex Kirilloff hits another triple. And oh, look at that. The Twins, they're coming around and they're it's a hit parade. They just couldn't find their glasses this entire series. And it's very, it's one thing to lose, I think, also in like a, in a blow, like a offensive parade, yep. But they just, the pitching, like you said at the top of the show, didn't even give him really a chance here the first two games. And then today, Pablo Lopez, sure, you know, you give up a long ball to a very young, exciting, explosive prospect, a guy who is probably going to be an all-star at some point in his career. But other than that, he was lights out. He had seven strikeouts.
Yeah,
he pitched deep enough into the game. And I want to say that was a thing about Chris Paddock yesterday where he said, look, I know this is bad, but I don't want to harm the bullpen anymore.
Yeah.
Keep me out there. Let me go another 10, 15 pitches. Let's see if I can just get us to the end of this inning. Pablo Lopez got you far enough today that you should have been able to get something on Albert Suarez. And we're sitting here talking. I wish I had an answer. I wish you had an answer. I wish Rocco had more answers. But they don't. All that's going to happen is let's get back to Target Field. Let's try to turn things around against a Tigers team that has started relatively well and win a couple games back here. I think we did one of the first extra innings of the year together. It was either the first or second. I think you said you can't win the division in the first month, but you sure can lose it. I don't think they're in that territory because they're 6-11. You're winning some games here and there. You go on a little streak and all of a sudden you're back at 500. But you do need to turn it around somewhat quick because I feel like that Dodgers series and this series are easily two measuring stick series for this team, kind of gauging where they're at, kind of the talent. And like we said a few minutes ago, the reading level, they're trying to figure out like syllables here while other teams are forming full-on sentences. So it's very infuriating.
Yeah, right now the Twins 6 games back in the Central already. So Gardos are hot. The Royals have kind of revamped their roster, and everyone kind of mocked the Royals like, oh, wow, look at this, 45-win team that's trying to be a 65-win team. The Royals are better than you right now. So the Guardians are better than you right now. So you're 6 games back, and you can make up some games quick here against the Tigers and White Sox, and maybe that's the case. Hopefully in a week's time here we're talking about this team finally clicking and turning things around. But when Varlin and Paddock aren't going and you have no shot, and which stinks, because it's the second or third inning, and you already have a crooked number you're looking up at. But when Pablo Lopez shoves, when Joe Ryan makes another big start here on Friday, the Twins have to win those games. You can't waste a start from this, like Pablo Lopez was able to give you today. And a lot of other pitching coaches and managers and people who have been around baseball for will tell you, solo shots are fine. They're not going to kill you. Pablo Lopez gives up a solo shot in the bottom of the first to start the game, and then was essentially on cruise control the rest of it. I mean, he shoved. He was getting swings and misses. He allowed, just one hit after that. He was really, really damn good. And, for Steven Okert and Griffin Jacks and Brock Stewart, who have been mostly terrific this season, I understand there's been a blip on Jacks the last two outings. Steven Okert, who has kind of emerged as maybe a fringe bullpen arm out of spring training to being a big lefty option, gives up a bomb there. That's the life of a bullpen, To me, yes, those losses today and on Sunday, which was a bigger bullpen implosion than this one, those stink, but I'm really not as concerned with that. I'm more concerned with the lineup. I'm more concerned with basically two guys in your starting rotation that have given you zero shot. You're going to get Duran back, so that makes the pecking order, and Stewart and Jacks kind of change too, so they're not pitching as high leverage and as in hired required situations, so I think that will be fine, but for the Twins offense to be sputtering this bad and for 40% of your rotation to be basically unplayable, those are some big problems. And I'm not necessarily sure, pending to your point, age, a big hot streak, that can just be flipped overnight. This is not just it's early in the baseball season. Yeah, it's early in the baseball season, but what about the Twins through the first 16 games, 17 games here? Have you made you think, they're going to be just fine? I would really like to know what are three things that have made you think that this team's going to be just fine.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
That's the thing. It's hard to find those three things, and I'll maybe put you on the spot here if you're fine with it. Mm-hmm. I'm a big Survivor fan, right? Okay. So at the end of the season of Survivor, before you get to the final tribal council, for people that aren't aware, it's the final three, there's voting. Right before that, you have the fire-making challenge, where two people go head-to-head for that final spot. And every time you watch that, it's like it's the same story. And I've seen this now for 45-something seasons of Survivor, where it's they struggle and blah, blah, blah. They get the tindering, and all of a sudden they get that one spark. They get that one little flicker of the flint goes on to the tindering, and all of a sudden you see the smoke, and the flame starts, has life, starts growing. It starts emerging. All of a sudden this thing is raging, and it goes, they build it up, and it cuts the rope and their flag. They win. They lock in the final spot. What to you is that one spark? What to you is the twins, like, tindering that can really start this kind of raging fire to get this season back on track the way I think a lot of Twins fans expected after the success they had last season? What is one change? What is, can they call somebody up? Do they need to take a different approach to certain games? What is that one thing that you think is the domino that's going to get this fire started?
I would say the lineup, figuring it out, because I just don't necessarily think like Louis Varland and Chris Paddock all of a sudden turning things around. And look, I know what you're saying with the domino, but it's the spark. It's really what's going to kind of ignite a, you know, kindling fire into a raging, you know, uncontrollable fire. It's your lineup figuring things out. The lineup's been easily the most inconsistent part of this team. God bless Austin Martin. I think it's been great, and I think he's actually going to be a fixture in this lineup. He's not going to go back to St. Paul for him not playing well or not trying hard enough. But Austin Martin's taking your best at bats. Ryan Jeffords has been consistent this year, which is good. You know, Buxton's been able to stay in the lineup and on the field. And even though there are, you know, there's still going to be some problems with him swinging and missing a lot at the plate, if he's playing defense like he normally is, like, you can kind of live with some of that stuff. So it's up to Edward Julian putting in more consistent at bats. It's Trevor Larnach grabbing an opportunity by the horns and running with it. It's Willy Castro hopefully not being a complete sieve at shortstop. It's those type of situations for half this lineup, and with the defense being without guys like Carlos Correa, that's going to make life very, very difficult on them, because that's really going to be the only big thing I think that really starts to turn things around. And, you know, there were signs over the last week or so that, like, hey, maybe the Twins aren't going to be as bad of a lineup, but they're maybe not going to be, you know, murderer's row like we've seen from the Orioles lineup or the Dodgers lineup. There were, I thought, some signs of life, but today's performance with just a handful of hits, really the only good performance I thought offensively was the first game of the series, and that's where you got buried basically by the third inning, so nothing was going to come out of it. So, yeah, it's up to the lineup, man. It's up to the lineup to figuring things out, to kind of get the fire out of control, and, you know, getting Smokey Bear to saying only you can prevent smaller forest fires. I get Smokey Bear into the locker room and say only you can prevent this from going down into hell. This is up to you, Twins hitters. So I think that's where I'm at here.
TC Bear, you're out of here. Smokey's the new mascot of the Minnesota Twins here moving forward until further notice. We're sending down TC to AAA. We're calling up Smokey the Bear because we need some fire started here. And I think I'd like to see Rocco. I'd like to see somebody step up and maybe light a fire under this team. You have a very important home stretch coming up starting Friday, the Tigers, and then you host the White Sox after that. Is it safe to say that over these next, seven games at home, Dex, is four like the minimum that you win? Five is kind of expected. Where should Twins fans set the bar for these next seven games at home? Because I think three out of four against the White Sox is not, that's not asking a lot. The White Sox team is not good. Granted, I know the state of the Twins right now, but I would still put on paper the Twins over them 75% of the time, and if not a sweep there at home. You're in your own ballpark here.
I would say you gotta, realistically, four.
Yeah,
if you can get 5-2 or 6-5-2 or more, so 5-6 or 7. I mean, hell yeah, you win seven games. Now all of a sudden we're back at .500. Things are all hunky dory. You're good. But yeah. I mean, it's baseball, and realistically, you know, eventually even a bad team like the White Sox is probably going to sneak a game in there for a W in those four that they're here for. But yeah, I mean, realistically four, but honestly, from a panic meter, from a DEFCON standard, you need five. I mean, you at the very minimum need five wins here on this homestand, and anything less than four is going to be a complete joke. So yeah, this is a problem. Look, you can go to the Angels, I think, on the West Coast right afterwards, and the Angels, I think, they've been better than the Twins, but they're still the damn Angels. So like, that's a team you can potentially punch back on. Yes. But yeah, that's your issue, is you got outclassed by two really good teams to start the year in the Dodgers and the Birds, and plenty of time to make things up. But yeah, it does feel like people are hovering over the panic meter, and I don't really blame them either.
No, I don't either. It's you can't go one off season of finally winning that playoff game and getting to the second round and all this stuff, and then you announce the cutbacks, you have some high expectations still entering the season. You know, you make some moves that honestly on paper, it looks like you have some pitching and a bullpen that's going to be able to carry you as long as the bats are there. But the problem is now we're 17 games into the season for this club, and we're talking about, you know, panic buttons. That's not, it's a long season, but you know, the record says so much, the on-field play says another. And I think when you add those two together, I don't think it's wrong of Twins fans and you and I to sit here and say the panic button is on the table, you know, because you let this thing get away from you. You can only play catch up so much. It's like getting that bad grade to start every semester. You know, you're playing to get your GPA back up, and all these good test scores, the A's and the B's, they don't raise it as much as that one F drops that, you know, that 3.8. All of a sudden, hey, well, how am I at a 2.6? This doesn't make sense. Getting healthy, I think, in my mind, is the biggest thing that is going to get this team right. Unfortunately, that's not an overnight fix.
As someone who crawled out of Academic Watch, which, by the way, is not as bad as Academic Probation, you know, like they're firmly in Academic Watch. All right. It's not as bad. It's not as bad. Okay. I crawled out of it, and I was just fine. But they are in definitely the Academic Watch part. I actually have another hilarious analogy to give to you before we wrap up on the Score North Twin Show here, Age. But by the way, a shout out to our friends at the Element Hotel in downtown Minneapolis. It's right next to Target Field. Great area. It's a Westin Hotel, too, by Marriott. It's a good staycation for a Twins game or just a weekend or night out in the North Loop or in Minneapolis. You got complimentary breakfast. You have a 24-hour fitness center, free Wi-Fi. It's also pet-friendly. You can book your next stay by going to elements-hotel.marriott.com. It's also in the bottom of the YouTube link here. So shout out to our friends. Go support the Element Hotel. Tell them the Score North Twin Show sent you as well. I made a video game analogy yesterday to Ross, which, as you can imagine, went right over Roscoe's head, and I don't blame Ross for not knowing it. Yeah. But were you a Fallout guy, is basically what I'm about to say. Were you a big Fallout fan?
I've put some hours into Fallout.
Okay.
I'll leave it at that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You like the new series?
Love the show. Love the show.
I'm only one episode in, but I'm hooked.
Yeah. I have two episodes left. It's probably gonna be on the docket for this evening. But it feels like the Twins are in the vault, and now they have to like go up into the wasteland because all their supplies got like used within the first week or year or two of the vault. And now they have to go scounge the wasteland. They have to face the raiders. They got to face the rats. They got to face all the radiation poisoning. That's basically where the Twins are at. They're in a Fallout situation. The vault, the Carlos Correa and the Royce Lewises are out. We need to figure out a way to sustain living for the next foreseeable future. And it means going out into the wasteland and hopefully figuring that out. And hopefully all the Fallout listeners that are listening to this get this. And if you're not a Fallout fan, I'm pretty sure everything I just said, just like Ross, went right over your head.
Yeah, because the Vault 612 for the area code. The experiment is that we're going to tell you everything's going to be fine, but in reality, we stocked you with 75% of the stuff, the funding and the supplies that you needed, and you planned for one thing, but you're getting a whole other situation. Like you said, the vault door is wide open. They're embarking into the wasteland, and there's radiation everywhere. There's giant scorpions around every corner. There's ghouls. And oh, God, this team, they're going to have to hopefully they got their Pip-Boy with them. Hopefully they've got some rat away because they are going to need it to embark on this journey that they have ahead of them.
I hope to God, as much fun that it is, that's probably the most Fallout jargon you could possibly use in about a 2 minute rant there from me and AJ. So we'll suspend the Fallout jargon unless comments or audience says otherwise. But this is Score North Extra Innings. My name's Declan Goff. That's AJ Fredrickson. Twins back this weekend. You can expect some extra content from the Score North Extra Innings feed. So on Apple, on Spotify, appreciate a 5-star rating. If you're still watching this or if you're consuming this later, hit the like button. Hit the subscribe button, too, to help us continue to build this channel. We appreciate it. This has been the Score North Extra Innings Twin Show. We'll be talking at you later this week.